Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoying grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. You take the dollar, dollar, can't a damn soul stop it. Here comes the new kid on the block.
That's right. We're the show that explores the show, The Simpsons, from the modern day to the past, all the way up to season 11, but no further, because the Golden Age, seasons 1 through 10, belong to the other podcasts that have already talked about The Simpsons. We want to find the gold in the newer episodes, especially the newest episodes when we can. I am half an annoyed grunt boy, Steve, and with me, as always, is... It's a phone call. It's so rare, I should pick that up. Ahoy hoy.
Oh, yes. Who's this?
This is Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve from the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Oh, so you're recording a podcast?
Yes, yes.
Sam, you have a co-host?
It's actually Steve, but yes, I do have a co-host, Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
Oh, well, that's the right one then, right, guy? Yep, okay. I'm Sheriff Copperton from the town police here.
Okay.
You're a co-host, Greg.
Craig, yeah.
He committed crime.
Oh, no.
But there's something you could do to help Gary here,
Craig,
to be a free man.
Well, I mean, he's a little stinker, but it's hard to do this podcast without him. So whatever it takes, I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, this is a new program that here at police station we're doing because of COVID. We don't want to fill the jail cells up. So we're just asking for certain criminals to be released to keep COVID safe.
That's smart. I appreciate your concern, officer.
Anyways, Samantha here, I need you,
Steve,
to go ahead and wire me $350 in Amazon gift cards.
$350,000 in Amazon gift cards?
I mean, if you want to. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Let me just... $300. All right. And that's sent.
I didn't even give you my information.
Oh, sorry. I was just buying the gift cards now. So if you want to go ahead and send me your email address.
It's... 138simpsons@gmail.com.
138 sounds familiar, but I mean, probably just a coincidence. Alrighty, gift cards to and send. There we go. Officer Coppington, your gift cards are on their way.
I don't even remember what voice I started off with.
It was just kind of a deeper voice. That
sounds like Dauber. Archer Starfish, yeah. Well, this bit's dumb. Sorry.
we tried.
Yeah. Hey, we're trying to connect this episode with our intro.
That might be a downer, but you know what's not a downer? What? Alcohol. It's time for our favorite segment of the show, The Simpsons Beer Corner.
You know, we like to connect. I always bring that. No, you like to connect the episode. I like to connect the seasons. And I think I'm going to be one of those basic B words, Steve.
Uh-oh.
Because it's October. What does every flavor thing in October be?
Gotta be pumpkin.
That's right. I'm going to do some pumpkin beers. Maybe the whole month. We'll see.
Ooh, that's
because there is variations in pumpkin ale. There's a standard pumpkin ale that a lot of companies do, but then some like to spice it up or caffeine it up, or I don't know, caffeine it up, sweeten it up. Because it would be better if I said spice it up, sweeten it up,
yeah,
salt it up, mud it up.
Well,
pepper it
maybe
up.
Put like a umami flavor. Maybe
I don't want my mommy in my pumpkin. Anyway, so I'm going to be doing the Elysian Punkachino. It's a copy pumpkin ale. I think Elysian is doing a variety pack this year, so it might be all Elysian or not. I'll decide. Probably not. And I think pumpkin beer, to me, like... I mean, I like it, but then it also makes me not want to be part of like those people.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I will say that the Elysian pumpkin series is always consistently good and holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah. All right. Well, It says a pumpkin ale with an attitude of a world-weary barista. That's you, Steve.
That's right.
Punkuccino packs a short shot of Stumptown coffee in your pint with just a shake of cinnamon and nutmeg. Also, this does contain lactose.
Yeah, I love it.
6% alcohol by volume. Stumptown, another Portland institute of Indeed. Coffee. All right, here we go. Oh yeah, that you taste the coffee. Yeah, if that's what if Starbucks sold this kind of coffee, pumpkin ale coffee, this is it's really good. You get a lot of the coffee flavor, which is what you would expect. It's nice and thick, has a nice creamy aftertaste. I mean, that must be the lactose. This just tastes like a really good cold brew with a nice hint of pumpkin.
I love it.
The pumpkin's not overwhelming, so I think even if you're not into pumpkin flavor things, I think this I think you might like it, because it's just a little bit of that cinnamon nutmeg that makes that pumpkin spice flavor. So I recommend it.
Sounds great. I always look forward to those every year, and the fact that they have the variety pack now, and some stores are even breaking up that variety pack and selling them individually, it's a great thing.
So check it out. Yeah. What do you got for us?
Alrighty. Well, Craig, you are correct in that I do like to connect my beer to the show that we're about to watch. And this episode is all about scams. And I don't know what scams are, but a bunch of mirrors and smoke. That's why I have Mirrors and Smoke, a beer from local brewer Wayfinder, which is an amazing small brewery right here in Portland, Oregon. And
how
so this
small is it?
It's about, I don't know, beer things, 3 inches.
All right.
It's a smoked London-style porter brewed in honor of Beermonger's 12th anniversary. You know, we talk about the kid-friendliness of our labels. This one I don't think is very kid-friendly. It looks like a playing card almost for like the queen, but the queen is a skull. So it's appropriate for the spooky season as well.
I will say that mine does look a little kid-friendly.
Yeah.
It's a jack-o'-lantern holding a coffee cup. It looks all happy. So I think a kid would be like, this looks like fun pumpkin juice.
That does sound very kid-friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know, Craig, how much experience you've had with smoked beers. They can be very divisive with people, the Marsden style, or adding the element of smoke to a beer can be off-putting to a lot of people. I, however, tend to like it, so here we go. It's a nice dark color, really smoky nose. Ooh, that's nice. It's like a lighter porter with just a really strong hint of smoke, 5.5% alcohol. I would love it. I love it. I would drink it often. I could, however, see someone saying that it tastes kind of like eating a smoked sausage.
See, I would like that.
Yeah, it just has a really nice, rich, kind of smoky flavor, like kind of like a hickory flavor. Like if you were, imagine like if you had a Guinness and you poured some liquid smoke in it, that's what you have, but right. In a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to say that I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I could see how other people would not.
I think for me, like, I like that. I think maybe I would just have one.
Yeah.
Like one little 12 ounce and then call it good and then just go back to like another beer.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to like have a bunch of these.
Yeah.
You'd feel like very full because it'd feel like you just ate a bunch of meat.
Yeah. And like sometimes the smoke flavor I just get like bored of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're going to like you get like a smoked turkey leg and you're like down to like the last few bites. Like, yeah, I just don't really want this anymore, but there's still meat here. Like, yeah. I remember cooking a brisket before and then having so much left over. It's like, all right, I don't want brisket meat ever again. And again, like, and then also like cooking the turkey. So that pertaining to the smoke thing. Yeah. So. I would definitely sample that.
Yeah, I think it's good. And I think that Wayfinder, they just, everything that I've had from them has been really well executed. And they're a good brewery.
All right, Steve. So let's just get on with this week then.
Alrighty. So Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office?
Well, it's probably another Marvel movie.
Probably.
Last week we had Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings.
Mm-hmm.
It was dethroned by everyone's favorite Tom Hardy franchise, Venom. Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Oh,
yeah, I know you haven't seen them.
Yeah, I haven't.
I saw the first one once, not in the theater, so just like on HBO or wherever on TV,
mm-hmm.
Premium channels or whatever it was. It's so weird that like Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams are in this, because I just assume they would, like, based on like the script and everything, like it seems like it'd be beneath them. Because
mm-hmm.
these movies, like the first one at least, like wasn't great. The dialogue's silly. It was like a 90s comic book movie.
Right.
Made in the 2020s or whatever. No, I'll see the other one eventually. But Venom, for me, like, you're a Spider-Man fan. Like, Venom was never like one of my favorite villains of Spider-Man.
So it's coincidental that this is coming out because as I've mentioned on the show that I'm reading through Spider-Man from the beginning, and I'm kind of in 1989 right now. And I was just, the Venom stuff is just now starting to happen. And yeah, it's kind of interesting, but kind of annoying. I will say that Todd McFarlane's art really kind of brings it out and it like really sells it. But as a character, yeah, I don't know that Venom's the most interesting. And the trailers of the movie just look kind of goofy.
Maybe we'll do a drinking game for the Venom movie.
There you go.
That would be a fun podcast to do.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess with the Venom, especially in the 90s, like 90s comics, and Todd McFarlane was really kind of like one of the instigators of that, because it was that cool drawings that he would do, like splash pages of monstrous like hulking characters, and then he went on to go Spawn and like make those like cool drawings of the capes and stuff like that, make it epic. And that was like 90s characters, like Venom was huge in the 90s with like Spawn and
just a lot of things with like a lot of like liquidy goo, and
yeah,
like, it feels very fluid.
Yeah. Oh, well, then maybe Venom's a positive character because he's very fluid.
There you go.
Actually, he is. but I think probably still better than Topher Grace's interpretation. So
that's probably true.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Do we have a new Billboard Hot 100, or is it the same as last week?
It is the same as last week. It has stayed on the charts because it's Stay by the Kid Laroi and Justin Bieber.
Let's pick up where we last left off.
All right. Fucked up if you can't be right. Yeah, I do the same thing. I told you that I never would. I told you I'd change. Even when I knew I never could. Know that I can't find nobody else as good as you. I need you to stay. Need you to stay. Yeah, I do the same. I think that's where we left off.
Sounds good.
We'll save it more for next week.
I should have kept the timestamps, but I didn't.
It's fine. It all sounds the same.
Yep.
Just go on TikTok and you'll hear it again anyway.
All right. So let's talk about this week's episode of The Simpsons.
All righty. It's called Bart's in Jail.
No.
In it, Grandpa falls victim to a phone scammer.
Yeah, which is what we were parodying in the beginning.
Exactly. And now you know.
We spoiled it.
Oh, we ruined everything. But The Simpsons set out on a mission to of vengeance to get the money back or die trying. You added the die trying part. See, we sometimes put dirty things in the notes in the hopes to slip the other person up when they read it. That one wasn't dirty, so I just said it. And it's like, the stakes on that episode weren't that high. Nobody was going to die.
All right, Steve. Let's make some prank phone calls for scammy things.
All righty. We'll be right back. I told you that I never would. Told you I'd change. And we're back. Today we're talking about Bart's in Jail, the second episode of the 33rd season. It originally aired on October 3rd, 2021. It is episode 708 in the show's run. Your nerd code is QABF18. It was written by Nick Dahan, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, and your showrunners are Al Jean and Matt Selman.
All right, Nick Dahan? Dahan?
Yeah, sure, Dahan.
Well, not much is known about this guy after one Google search that I just did, so...
he was born on March 3rd, 1992.
Yes, he's 29.
Yep. He was an assistant to the producers on 134 episodes, starting way back in season 26 on the episode Bull Lee, which we reviewed at some point in our lives.
Yeah, so he's been an assistant and probably getting to work his dues and finally gets a job to write an episode. So here's the thing. You stick around with The Simpsons being an assistant to the producers, you know, maybe taking their orders and getting their food for them. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you get to write an episode. You get it, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, come on. It only took him 7 seasons.
Yeah. No, you leave to do a podcast about fast food.
And nobody ever hears from you again. Not like you're in a movie.
Yeah, star of
insurance commercials.
Why? I feel like we mentioned Mike Mitchell from the Doughboys podcast almost in every episode now. This podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
but out of love, because everyone loves Mike Mitchell.
He's great.
I want to go back to Nick Dahan. Dahan.
Mm-hmm.
What does Herbie Velichus from Fantasy Island? What does he do when he sees Harrison Ford in Star Wars? What does he say?
Dahan.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we allowed to make fun of Herbie Velasquez?
I think so. I mean,
good. I mean, he's been dead for like a while.
Yeah.
But I like how they don't have anything except for, well, on the Simpsons wiki of when he was born. But I really find the wording or the sentence of him odd. It's just Nick DeHaan, parentheses, born March 3rd, 1992, is an American assistant to the producers for The Simpsons. Do we really need the word American in there? Is that...
It's a very good point.
Nationality, like it could yeah. say Nick DeHaan has been assistant.
I assumed he was from America. I didn't think he commuted well, from Paraguay.
I don't really care where Nick exactly. is from, you know, because Wiki, anyone could edit. It may be like Nick's dad is like
the super conservative. And he's like,
yeah, just like my boy needed to make sure that he's an American on there.
I am proud that he's a production assistant, especially on some liberal damn yellow show like The Simpsons. But at least he's an American.
I'm going to have to change the subject real quick because my phone's going off. It's buzzing.
Oh, no.
And I have a T-Mobile. And so when it comes up a lot of times, it'll say scam likely. So I literally have scam likely calling me right now. How apropos is that?
Yeah.
The word I'm using?
I think that is the apropos. How about
apple pie? Yeah.
How apple pie? So mode.
I never answer the scam likely. I should just go in all my contacts and just name them scam likely. So I never have to answer the phone.
Like, yeah.
Work, delete to scam likely. So at work, be like, oh, we try calling you. Like, well, like, it's under scam likely, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you're up to.
Yeah, so you're
trying to work for money.
Yeah, and not pay me
like a scam to me.
This is the new America where we don't want to work. We just want the money.
Exactly. Which is justifiable, but also wrong somehow. It's weird. I don't know what to believe anymore.
This episode has also opened my mind to America, man.
That's right.
Captain America, man.
He's just a superhero who really likes Captain America.
Yeah.
He wears a crappy 80s costume.
He was bitten by a radioactive Chris Evans.
Yikes. That'll get you drunk.
Hey, who wouldn't like to be bitten by a Chris Evans, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I'm just saying. Showstopper. Comment there. He's a good-looking man. That's what I'm trying to say.
He is. I also heard him on a podcast one time, and he's very drunk.
I don't think I've ever heard Chris Evans on a podcast.
I think it was like Doug Loves Movies.
No, I don't listen to that.
I haven't listened to it in years. He's a... Anyway.
He's so an anyway.
Let's not talk about other podcasts. Let's
do ours. Yeah. Good idea. All right. Let's start this podcast. I'll hit record now.
Already.
I think it's recording.
Great. So this show was originally, or this episode was originally to be produced for season 32, but was delayed for some reason.
I think that's a lot of episodes for in the beginning of a season. A lot of the first episodes of the new season always were intended for the previous season.
Yeah. I think things just get moved around or production of things happen. So, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. So let's do it to it. Craig, do you want to tell us about all of our wonderful gags that we have? I mean, we didn't have any last week, so it's exciting that here in the second episode, we get a whole new season of couch gags, chalkboard gags, all that fun.
Well, I'll let you know, Steve, we don't.
Aw.
You know what we should do is we should have, going back to our 103rd spectacular episode of the drunken movie commentary, how we had like shots of whiskey and stuff like that. I think we should, like, if there's not a couch gag or a chalkboard, we take a shot before we do the podcast.
I like that. Starting forward, moving forward, we'll do that.
I don't have any on me right now, so
yeah, nor I.
So we'll do a cheers to a no couch gag.
Yes.
Cheers, we'll incorporate. Well, and also because we're also drinking the beer that we're talking about right now.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Up atop. So we're having our beer with a whiskey or whatever hard alcohol shot you want.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners, you do the same.
That's right. It'll anytime, make us more enjoyable.
Yeah. Here's the game. If any of us go, take a shot.
And sorry for your liver in advance.
All right. Steve, let's just get on with it then.
Alrighty, so our episode begins, as it always does, at the Springfield Meatball Factory, where balls of meat are proudly rolled by the Meat Shapers Local Union 164. Inside the industrial plant, we find a young Abe Simpson talking to Jasper Beardsley and younger Jewish man about how great their new job is as meat shovelers. It has a half day on Christmas, unpaid polio leave, and all the breadcrumbs you can sweep.
I think it's funny that we talk about, last week we've talked about the continuity of The Simpsons, where fans complain about, like, oh, you know, now that, you know, Homer, Marge are, you know, went to high school in the 90s because that's the way time works.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's funny that no matter what, with like Abe Simpson, he's still kind of, no matter what, in like an old timey yeah. like universe. Like, you know, theoretically he should have been like, if they're going to try to do the continuity with like Homer and Marge, like really like Abe probably should have just only been like in Desert Storm as maybe like an older, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, I think even now he's probably past being like in Vietnam.
Yeah. He could be like in, they could like do a Gung Ho parody and he loses his job at the auto factory.
Yeah. But it's funny that like how many jobs does Abe have?
Right.
Didn't like last season we learned that he had a laser tag arcade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he's been in like the Army, the Navy, the Marines, like in all the branches. Right.
Right. And he's been a farmer.
Right. Right.
He grew up on a farm, or Homer grew up on a farm. He had the laser tag. He had an onion for a belt at some time because that was the style.
Yeah. He's done it all. Well, we don't really know much about him because he's kind of a huckster himself, right?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Maybe, you know, I've talked about how like they should do a TV show with like Homer and Marge actually as teens or just mm-hmm. the other people of Springfield, like just their adventures. What if we did like the Fabulous World of Abe Simpson or whatever? Like he
Ooh.
Just has like different jobs and adventures each week.
That'd be fun.
A younger version.
Kind of like young Indiana Jones. Just, yeah. Every week it's something new.
And then like Homer, you know, like is in it, but sometimes not. Like he has to go off and do adventures. His grandpa
mm-hmm.
before grandpa.
I like that.
Yeah.
Pre-grandpa.
Pre-grandpa. A lot of us are pre-grandpas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you will be, Steve.
I don't think I will be.
No. Post-grandpa.
Yeah. My dad was like a post-grandpa when I was born.
It's true. Because
he's older than several grandpas.
Hey, Steve, after a hard day's work making some meatballs, those three soon-to-be old men head to Max Tavern, which I think is kind of a fun, like, it starts with an M. It's three letters. It's not mm-hmm. Moe's. It's Max. I mean, Mac is, like, one of the, like, related to Moe, like his uncle.
Their voices do sound very similar.
Maybe they're by the same actor. I doubt it, though.
Probably not.
Yeah. Anyway, so they head to the Max Tavern with plans for the recent earnings.
Mac, we just got our first paychecks. Take this money and turn it into giggle water. Mike, you fika! What the hell is that?
Yeah, that's your social security tax. Government takes out money, then gives it back when you retire in 50 years.
What? Stupid government thinks it's smarter than me. I can handle my money. Put $5 on any two animals fighting.
I gotta say, the term for alcohol, giggle water, I gotta remember that.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's the new Simpsonisms.
I love it. Giggle water.
Try to remember that next time we, or currently are drinking giggle water.
Giggle water. Hee hee hee. Also, this is barely fun and barely trivia. Abe's paycheck was $50, which for a week's worth of time at that time was probably good. And the deduction for FICA was $375, which works out to be a 7.5% deduction. And the current rate of FICA deduction is 6.2%, though other things are taken out like health insurance, dental, vision, insurance plans, etc.
Anal.
And anal, yeah. I mean, only if it's your birthday.
Yes. So really, he's getting pretty good then.
Exactly. Yeah.
If only 7.5%, that's taken out of his check.
Yeah.
He doesn't need health insurance. They don't have that then.
No, you can just have a cigarette and call it good.
Yeah. That's how we solved things back then. You're sick. Shot of whiskey and a cigar. You'll be good the next morning.
Spoonful of Vaseline. Kill a commie. Call yourself good.
Drink some cocaine.
Yep.
Shoot up some morphine.
Maybe some Ovaltine.
No, don't go too far there.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. And then at the end, I just like the idea of him gambling on whatever two animals are fighting.
Yep. And so he bets on Goose versus Possum, vowing to eat the loser. And my money, I think, would be on the goose. Geese are tough.
Yeah. And also, possums I mean, I'd root for the possum because possums are actually
totally.
They're really good for the environment.
And they're kind of cute in a weird way.
Yeah. They're just fun little rat-tailed kittens.
Yeah.
They've never attacked a human. They don't attack humans.
No.
They can't get rabies.
It's true.
So, you know what? We're Team Possum.
Exactly. I don't like all this negative, positive or negative possum coverage.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll eat all the fucking geese I want.
That's right.
You know what? Let's get rid of, you know, no one really likes turkey. You know, we say we do, but we're just like, turkey. Great.
We're like, just trying to make old Ben Franklin happy.
Yeah. You know? It's like, does anyone really like, you know, get excited for Thanksgiving eating turkey? No, I mean, you hear about the sides.
It's all about the sides.
But it's like, great turkey. And like, does anyone go crazy for like, I got you a turkey sandwich? You're like, great.
turkey's not a ham, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's turkey is perfectly cromulent.
It's but it's like,
there, you know, there's fast food restaurants for hamburgers and fried chicken. Like, fried chicken's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No one, Popeyes or whatever, is not going to introduce the new fried crispy turkey sandwich.
Yeah, that's not going to be a thing. I don't think. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a big run on turkey trends.
Yeah. Yeah, P.F. Chang's isn't going to make an orange turkey sandwich.
That sounds so weird, even though it's not that weird.
It's not weird. You're just making a chicken sandwich and putting orange glaze on it that you can buy at the store.
Right.
Okay, we're not a food podcast bitching about how every restaurant has to do a chicken sandwich.
Right.
But we're done with it.
Just stop. Just
what I'm just trying to say is let's replace the goose as the thing we eat.
Yeah.
And you know what? But we only can eat it if we defeat the goose. So it has to be man versus goose. You know, make it sort of ethical.
Yeah, that makes sense.
First, you gotta like piss the goose off. Well, what you do is you buy a goose and then you make it break and enter your a relative's house.
Uh-huh.
So the relative has to defend their home from a thieving goose, so that way they can kill it, you know, lawfully.
Right. And then once they kill it, do they give it to you or do they keep it as reward for?
Well, they keep it. Oh, okay. I got it now. Ready for this?
Yeah. Ready, willing, and able.
The family decides who's going to host Thanksgiving that year by the fact of if there's a goose in your house that broke in, you kill that goose. You're the one hosting Thanksgiving.
Okay. That seems fair.
A new tradition. Kill the goose.
Kill the goose. Host the meal.
Yeah. So and you can always do it as a prank, like, you know, like, I don't know, how's that a prank?
Well, I mean, if you didn't want to like have people, if you didn't want to host that year,
yeah,
you could just like sneak a goose into somebody else's house.
Someone's like, I live in a studio apartment. Why would you do this to me?
I had a pet ferret.
It died. All right. Where are we at here? Have we even started the episode yet?
Barely. We're like literally about 42 seconds.
This works.
So a younger Jewish man confidently states that they won't need Social Security because they're going to be rich. The three men vow to never need government help.
And then it fades to modern day where we see Abe, an old man, old Jewish man, and Jasper there, a bunch of other seniors patiently waiting for the Springfield post office to open, and Abe demands that the government help him. They want to rein on a modest fixed amount from their Social Security checks.
That's right. So as the song Here Comes the Money by Naughty by Nature is heard, the seniors rush into the post office to collect their government-funded paycheck. They then put that money right back into the economy by doing such things as
Marge's mom there removing a wad of cash from her wig to buy some medicine at the pharmacy.
Then we have good old Alice Flick stuffing bills into birthday cards for, you know, grandkids, nieces, and nephews.
Wasn't Alice Flick dead?
I think she might have been.
She has like a rotating, like, either alive or dead, or maybe it's someone else.
Also in her house, she has a picture of herself. Very narcissistic.
It is weird.
I was like, hey, that's me. I'm great.
And we also see a Hans Molman there investing in numerous bingo cards.
Going to be a big winner. Then we see other seniors spending their newly found riches at the large print warehouse and Buick LaCrosse dealership. Very funny.
And then get more old guys there or old people going to a crate and burial, bespoke coffins and funeral wear.
Exciting. We then see Jasper heading to the sporting goods store to get his Walker freshly tennis ball.
I like that one.
Yeah.
And then all the seniors dining at Salvador's Deli. The persistence of lunchtime,
which I thought was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing clock. So Abe has just won even more cash from yet another win at cribbage. You ever play cribbage, Craig?
No,
me neither. My dad taught me once. I don't remember. There's a board that's fun to play with. And then you have to play with cards, too.
I think it's like a game. I don't, you know, like when you're playing Red Dead Redemption Part 2.
Sure.
The Redemptioner. Like,
right.
There's a, you know, you play dominoes and even they like kind of teach you. I still like just don't want to learn.
Yeah.
Like, no, nah, I'm not going to play dominoes. I'll play poker, but
I kind of get the game of dominoes. But to me, you just could just stack them and knock them down and have a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's more fun to do it that way. So that's a good play.
So he plans to finish off this great day with a medicated foot bath and a nice deep ear Q-tipping. At the Springfield Retirement Castle, Abe sits in his chair, snoring, feet soaking in that tub, as the book What to Expect When You're Expiring covers his sleeping eyes. Just then, his Geisterbug, which is a parody of Jitterbug, his prepaid no-frills cellular phone, rings.
Hello?
Grandfather, you've got to help me!
What? Is that you, Bart?
That's right. It's me, Bart. I'm so scared. I'm in jail.
Jail?
Please don't tell my dad or mom. They'll be so mad. The policeman needs to talk to you.
Sir, your grandson is in big trouble.
No, not Bart, my little angel.
Well, he was arrested for vandalism and shoplifting, sir.
Yeah, that sounds like Bart, that little devil.
If you don't send his bail money in the next 90 minutes, he's going straight to the downtown juvenile detention center.
Grandfather, help me, please.
Don't worry, Bart. Just tell me what you need and I'll do it. Your grandpa loves you.
I don't know, Craig. Seems a little suspicious.
It sounded like Bart, though.
It did. You got a point there. And he did say he was his grandson.
So, and that voice of the police guy sounds pretty authoritative.
Yeah. And he did say downtown correction center.
I think it's viable there. I think it's legit.
Yeah. I do think it was a nice touch that the jitterbug or the geezer bug has a rotary dial. So nice little touch.
Yeah, I was looking at that. It's a very fun phone. Do you think that the rotary dial actually isn't physical? It's just like actually it's still just a touch screen.
Oh, yeah, probably.
It's just like a I could totally see some hipster doofuses getting that phone.
Oh, yeah.
I want it.
Yeah, I want a geezer bug.
They're gonna have like retro, like I'm surprised this hasn't been a thing. I know they like the Razors come back, but like it's still like new smartphone-y.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're gonna do like it's, you know how like they'll release like the NES or Super NES, like that's like pre-built games in it or whatever. It's like retro NES play.
Yeah.
They're gonna do like retro like Nokias where it's not really a smart, it's just gonna be a Nokia, but they're gonna like say like, and it only has Snake on it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to sell that point.
It has gonna... like retro, cool retro T9 typing.
Yeah.
So Abe heads to the Best Western Union Motel and money transfer. It's a fun little company portmanteau where he urgently tries to wire money to an overseas account to bail his grandson from an unnamed jail. He's given a form to fill out, and then we see a number of other seniors in various lines looking for a similar task. One woman worried that her granddaughter Emma is in Colombia working as a drug mule, while an older gentleman is happy that the Russian secret police will accept the title for his Lexus as a payment.
I was hoping that that they would bring Emma in, but actually was like a drug mule, like
an actual mule.
No, like, oh. like this is more like a Chekhov's gun. Like at the end of the, maybe like an Easter egg in the end of the episode.
Oh, right, right, right.
You see that she is like a drug mule. Like they keep like pulling condoms out of her ass or something full of drugs. They can animate that, right?
Yeah. Classic Simpsons pulling condoms full of drugs out of anuses.
I mean, you don't see the anus. It's like, you know, cartoon. It just looks like it's pulling like sausage links out.
That's better.
Well, it's full of drugs.
Yeah. Like a clown's hanky it is.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for making this joke, Steve. This was all you.
I'm smart.
Yeah. You're as smart as you are good looking.
Hey.
All right. So after all those forms have been processed, Grandpa learns that his payment has been confirmed and Bart there will be released immediately. So that's the title of this episode is Bart's in jail. So that's where we're getting it from, is Bart's in jail.
Right.
But Bart won't be released immediately because he's got to pay processing fees, holding cell costs and handcuff tax. So Abe agrees and even throws a little extra cash to the anonymous callers because they're so helpful.
Yeah.
And on his taxi ride home, Abe brags to the driver there that his grandson didn't reach out to his father or his mother or even his dead grandmother because Bart went to Abe, and Abe feels that Bart knew his grandpa would get him out of any kind of jam. So the cab stops and Abe looks out the window there and he sees Bart and he's playing soccer with his old pals, the only other boys that have voices in this TV show. That's Milhouse and the future happy couple Nelson and Martin.
That's right.
Oh, thank goodness you're out.
Okay, enough of the smooches.
I don't care what you've done. All that matters is that no grandson of mine's gonna go to jail.
Jail? Are you off your meds? Or on new meds?
Bart, don't you remember? I just wired all that money to pay your bail.
Oh, Grandpa, I think you were scammed.
Me? Scammed? That's impossible. No one hornswoggles Abraham J. S-I-M-P-S-O-N, Social Security number 327003658. First pet's name, Homer. I've been hornswoggled.
Oh, no.
He was just cutting out and kissing Bart and all of his friends laughing. That's such a, that's good. That was funny.
Yeah. Thank goodness you're out.
Yeah.
Sounds like Grandpa's very supportive. At 7:42 Evergreen Terrace, Homer is enjoying a duff while watching the Punt Zone channel, a take on NFL's Red Zone channel, which features nothing but the fair catches and single seconds of airtime that punting offers. There's even alerts for fantasy punters, as sports reporter Scott Hansen demands that the camera person cut away from a fake punt. Homer is interrupted by Bart leading Abe into the living room.
Guys, something happened to Grandpa.
I got bamboozled out of my money by a flim-flam artist.
Oh, it's not his fault. Some scammer convinced him I was in jail.
I'm so sorry, Grandpa. Let me go microwave your slippers.
I don't deserve warm toes. I'm nothing but a feeble, useless old idiot.
No, you were just trying to be a good grandparent, and one bad apple took advantage of you.
You got nothing to feel bad about. Bart in jail? I would have fallen for that, too. I mean, how much money could they have taken from a retired old meatball man? $50 plus a pocket full of hard candies? Here you go, Dad. I'll cover it. What's the damage? $10,000! Where the hell did you get that kind of money, you broken-down old meatball man? It's 20 years of my cribbage winnings, saved up in a cigar box. I was gonna leave it to you, and now it's all gone.
Oh,
$10,000 when all you need is a knife. Is that how
Isn't that ironic?
Goes? Yeah. Oh, it's 10,000 spoons.
Close enough.
Hey, Landis, can you change this lyric for me? So it's when you have $10,000 and all you need is a knife.
Makes no less sense.
Yeah. I have $10,000, but I just want a knife.
I got this Australian guy telling me that it's not a knife.
That's not how you know, play no if you spoony.
I really liked Abe's old-timey speak. Getting bamboozled by a flim-flam artist makes him feel like an idiot. Classic Grandpa.
Classic Grandpa. I like also how, well, they're kind of supportive at first, but then when money comes to it, jeez.
Money makes everything worse. Yeah.
Steve, you want me to microwave your slippers?
I don't deserve warm feet. Sounds unpleasant.
I'll put them in the toaster oven.
Alrighty. That's kind of gross, though, because then you got feet in your microwave.
That sounds like a bad album cover, feet in your microwave.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not that good. It's like something clever you'd think is clever in seventh grade.
Right. And you're like, oh, man, it's so deep. And you look back like, feet in the microwave. Doesn't even make sense.
I mean, I guess it could be like a sexual term, too. I don't know.
Yo, dude, I got all my feet in her microwave last night.
Quentin Tarantino, is that you?
you see, the thing is about feet in the microwave is it's a message about sexuality and warmth in a nuclear way. Oh, dig that, cat.
All that stuttering. I thought you were President Biden.
Jeez, I did, too.
Worst president of our time, right?
That's right. He stutters sometimes, and he wants to do things, but he probably won't.
Mm-hmm. All right. But
not a political podcast.
So Homer envisions his dad being made of dollar bills.
Ooh.
And then it's going up in flames, and the fire leaves the ash remnants of Abe's body, which crumble, leaving his glasses and his little bolo tie floating in the air for a moment. And Homer, learning that he had an inheritance and lost it, is upset. He'd kill Grandpa, but now he'd gain nothing from it. So he says he hopes he lives forever. I thought that was kind of a funny play on that classic, I hope you die, you know.
Yeah, that's fun. I like it.
Also, like, I don't want to sound like $10,000 isn't that much. That's not really an inheritance, is it?
No, I mean, like, it's a good start.
It's a good start, but you could buy like a Kia.
Right.
A used one.
Yeah, I was going to say, Laura recently bought a Kia and it was more than $10,000.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, there you go.
You can, like, for a family of four, too, or family of five, rather, you can go on a really good vacation.
In state only.
Right.
You could go to, like, Knox Berry Farm for one day.
Or if it's October, you can go to Knott's Scary Farm.
There you go.
The haunted houses or whatever they have there.
Yeah.
So our second act begins, as it often does, at a big mansion, parroting the 2019 film Knives Out, which makes sense because there's more knives in this episode later. an executor reads the last will and testament of Abraham J. Simpson. And then a number of homers dressed as the various Drysdale family members from the movie listen intently as they learn of Abe's secret $10,000, which he lost in the scam. Because he's a moron, he leaves them with nothing. And then they all give him an annoyed grunt. And we discover this was all a dream, which has awakened our hero, sometimes, Homer J. Simpson.
I thought this was real. Actually, it was Knives Out.
I know.
Steve, I'm assuming you haven't seen Knives Out.
I saw it in the theater and I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I see one of the movies most sometimes.
Yeah.
It may have been the last movie I saw in the theater. Maybe.
We saw Joker.
That's true.
That might have been after this, Knives Out.
Yeah, those are probably the last two movies I saw in the theater, to be honest.
I don't want you to be honest, Steve. I want you to lie.
Alrighty. I saw Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right.
Two. Cool.
Already?
Yep. I saw Idris Elba, Jim Carrey. And then what happens? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Marge there asks Homer how he can miss money that he's never had. And Homer feels that, this is the worst part of the situation because first you have it, but then you don't. It's like going back and forth, giving him what he calls a whip cash. And then he puts on a neck brace and tries to lay back down.
I like the animation of him going, of him flowing back and forth. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
He looked like one of those wacky, the flyer things that are outside of mobile phone stations and other scam likely places.
Right. The inflatable dancing thing. Yeah.
Yep. Anytime I was in an improv scene and it didn't know what to do, I would just be one of those guys. That way I didn't have to talk. I'd get a weird little laugh and then I'd be done. I wasn't a good improviser. The next morning, Homer imagines how his life would have been improved with that 10 grand. He looks at past due bills and imagines them as a cake with frosting that reads paid in full. He sees his old 2-slot toaster and envisions it has a toaster with not 4 slots, not 8 slots, not even a dozen, but enough for 14 slices or 7 bagels. He then witnesses Santa's little helper rubbing his little butt on the ground and pictures it as one of those fancy Afghan hounds, complete with the Barbra Streisand hair. And then Homer lets out a defeated groan.
I love the toaster turning into 14 slices.
Yeah. 14 is just such a bold number to use.
I remember when I was a kid, growing up, most people had the 2-slicer, but I remember like my mom bought like a 4-slicer toaster, toaster. And it was like the height of technology.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, wow, we like 2 people can have a toast at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of trickery is this?
I know. Who has that extra 45 to 90 seconds to wait for a second round of toast?
I'll toast to that.
Cheers.
It's weird that Homer's envisioning having a different dog.
Yeah.
Like, what does he care? I don't know. It was weird.
It is. And
it's sort of like a greyhound, but with like hair.
Right. Afghan hounds are, I think they're prone to illness fairly easily because they're purebred.
Yeah.
And they're probably pretty fragile. So is Santa's helper because he's a greyhound, probably kind of a purebred. I don't know.
Yeah. We're not dog. This isn't dog talk.
No, that's for the Doughboy's Double this month on October for, what is it? Dough dog. I don't know. It's a dumb thing.
We'll be talking about the Bounty Hunter.
Exactly. There's all about Fett. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg should like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Like when he passes on, he should be like, he should christen Snoop Dogg to be the next bounty hunter. So he could still be like Dog the Bounty Hunter, but Snoop Dogg.
I like that. Yeah. I imagine like he riding in a motorcycle with Martha Stewart in the sidecar.
Smoking a blunt and drinking a Coors.
Exactly. And like he should like fighting crime. Be great.
I find it odd that Snoop Dogg does advertise for Corona just because majority of like, I don't see him being like a, like whenever he did write gin juice, right?
Yeah.
I just think I think his life is too much full of weed that he doesn't have time to actually drink alcohol anymore.
That makes sense. I think at this point he's almost just a ad person.
Yeah.
I don't know that he does like music so much anymore, or I don't think there's going to be a Soul Plane 2, but I think he can do like Bic commercials that imply drug use without actually saying it. Doing ads for Corona. Yeah, what the hell? Go for it, man.
He's the most mainstream person out there these days.
Yeah. Possibly more so than like Ice Cube even.
Yeah. Well, he's a family man.
That's true. How did he get there? Wait, when is he going to get there? What's the name of his movie franchise? Are we there?
Are we there yet? Yeah.
I'd rather see. How did I get here?
Isn't he like married to Cheryl Hines in those movies?
I think so. Yeah. No, I
don't. I was just.
I could see that though.
No, there was.
Oh, ice.
I was actually thinking of that movie RV with Robin Williams.
Oh, I right.
Cheryl Hines was his wife in that movie.
Yeah, no, Nia Long is his wife in the series. You can see how for her work on Martin. Yeah, I could see that.
I get them confused. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. All right. Well, that evening at the Springfield Elementary, it's back to school night where we can meet the single parent of your kid's bully. So Principal Skinner is requesting each parent donate $50 to go towards the new fundraising thermometer. However, Homer is a little less than eager to chip in.
Oh, yeah, $50. I would totally donate that if my father hadn't given away $10,000.
It's just a suggested amount.
Sure, 10 grand might not sound like much to you teachers, but I'd choose inheriting $10,000 over earning $1 million. And all of you would do the same.
Homer, not here.
Because generational wealth is the purest, most sacred kind of money there is. But my father fell for some super obvious scam because his brain is made of powdered mashed potatoes. So no, I will not be donating.
I like the little quip Homer says about $10,000 might not seem nothing to teachers, which we all know that in America, the teachers are grossly underpaid.
Yes, that's like half a year's pay for them, quite literally.
That's not a joke. Yeah, you don't need to pay teachers.
And they're only, you know, parenting your child for a third of the day.
Right.
So Homer gives
But we do support the teachers.
Yes, that's not a political issue. Just teachers, they shouldn't have to, like, you know, struggle to pay their bills and buy school supplies.
Yeah, exactly. Why are they buying the supplies for their class, though?
Yeah, God, it's we're supposed to be a first world country. Anywho, Homer gives a nearby globe a defiant spin and storms off. Seymour offered support to Marge as he had a similar experience. His mother received a call claiming that punk rockers were threatening to cut the principal's hair into a mohawk. He then goes on to explain to Marge just exactly what a mohawk is, but Marge stops him as she is fully aware of the hairstyle. He then hands her a card for scams, or support and care of adults manipulated by scams. Marge feels that this could be just what the family needs and goes to place the business card in her purse when Seymour stops her because he hasn't received many cards and wants to hang on to that one.
This whole interaction with Skinner is probably one of my favorite parts of this episode.
Yeah, I like him. It's a funny thing to explain a thing, not because you think the other person doesn't get it, but you don't understand how prevalent that information is. So it makes you look like a pompous asshole when you're just an idiot. Like with the mohawk, like, I don't think that he was explaining to her because he didn't think that Marge would know, but he's probably just learned, like, last week when he got the phone call that there are punk rockers who have mohawks and they're going to cut his hair just in like that fashion.
Just like the calling them punk rockers, like,
I know
they stopped doing that in like 1982. You know, mm-hmm. This is like, you're a punk, that's it,
right?
Punk rockers. But I was trying to think, was it because he was saying they was trying to scam his mom, but it almost sounds like his mom was trying to scam him. Is that it?
A little bit, yeah,
because she would call them punk rockers. I don't know,
it's possible.
Maybe I was just too high to figure this out.
You sound like a punk rocker yourself.
No, punk rockers only drink, man.
That's right. And we do drink hard drugs.
Yeah, like Advil.
Oh, yeah. Motrin IV.
Four Flintstones chewable tablets.
And they're all Barney. No, Bam Bam. Bam Bam's more punk rock one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we then head to the Springfield Community Center, where a scams meeting is underway. Also, as the reader board outside tells us, there is a free t-shirt if you email 10 of your friends the link fbo402pqwoc.com/4m, which is not currently a valid address, which I checked.
Well, yeah, you can't do a /4m after a .com.
It's true. Marge and Homer want to get Grandpa some help, but in his past, Abe had his own method for dealing with this type of situation. And later, Homer is sent to a therapy session of his own.
Group therapy! In my day, we dealt with horrible shame by getting blind drunk, stumbling into a hobo camp, and fighting their king. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Just give it a try, Abe. It'll help to know that you're not alone.
Nice, Marge. Making Dad sit through a pathetic sob fest with his fellow losers is the perfect punishment.
There's a group for you, too.
I wish I never voted to build this community center!
I should have known mortgage lenders don't take Applebee's gift cards.
He said if I didn't wire the money to the power company, they'd shut off my electricity. I am the power company.
Catfished. Ugh! Now it seems so obvious that I would never meet the real Melissa Joan Hart in an online billiards forum.
These criminals target the good in all of us. So the first step is to take a deep breath and forgive ourselves.
Ooh, a lot in that clip. I really liked Abe's, in the beginning, his method of solving the problem, getting blind drunk and fighting the king hobo at the hobo camp.
Hey, if that's how they did it back then, I think we should start doing that again.
I think it works. Kind of solves two problems eventually.
Jeez.
And if you win well enough,
right,
to kill the homeless person, I mean.
Let's just go to say Mr. Burns there.
Yeah. The fact
that, oh, shut up, your power. Wait, I am the power. So good.
Also, Mo kind of getting catfished by Melissa Joan Hart. Although, are we sure she could work at an online billiards company?
No, it's an online forum. So he's just talking about,
oh, that's right, yeah,
billiards to like other strangers, thinking that that Melissa Joan Hart was into billiards. I was almost hoping that they would like do a cutaway at the end, or like maybe actually get Melissa Joan Hart being like, oh, I really like that guy. And that, I don't know. Is that too Family Guy though, where they would just cut to,
maybe, I don't know. It would have been fun though if he was at his computer. He's like, ah, the ball into the hole. She did explain it all.
Yeah. And then there's a talking cat.
And then she's weirdly keen on Jesus or something.
I don't know.
So in the scam fam sessions, the whiteboard shows a list of top scams to look out for. We have
fake IRS,
ransomware,
Nigerian prince,
utility shutoff,
email phishing,
grandparents' love,
unexpected prizes,
and online romance.
I've gotten all of those and I've responded to every single one.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
You fell in love with a Nigerian prince who shut off your utilities while phishing your emails and promising your grandparents love and gave you a few unexpected prizes, but turns out to be ransomware from the fake IRS.
You know it.
Wow. That's the day.
It was Dan Hede. How did you know?
Because he looked just like Nixon.
All right. Well, we go to that. Yeah, we're in that scam fam session. And hey, we were scammed to thinking this is supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it's not. It's a different guy named Rainier Wolfcastle. And he's sharing his frustrated tale of his mother's paying hackers to return stolen photos that were already on her computer. And the star there points out that the pics weren't stolen. In fact, that they were backed up in the cloud, Dropbox, and, you know, Time Machine and other things of that nature.
Poor Rainier Wolfcastle's mother. The therapist, do you think they're nudes? They're probably newts.
I thought you said newts, like Newt Gingrich's. Like,
yes.
They're Newt Gingrich's? I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yes. I'm going to send you some newts. Just him and his wife enjoying some awful thing.
Him and his wife, where he heavily puts the airbrush on her face, softens it up.
Yeah.
All right.
So the therapist gives the a list of things one should never say to a scammer, or a victim of a scammer, rather. Mm. Such as, I would never have fallen for that. Everyone knows about that scam. And what were you thinking? Homer, in his very intelligent reading glasses, thoughtfully writes down all these phrases. He then bursts into the room next door to confront his father.
I would have never fallen for that. Everyone knows about that scam. What were you thinking?
No, it wasn't my fault. This group taught me not to feel shame. I'm on a path of healing and self-empowerment.
You better not be.
Now, what do we say to shamers like him?
Shaming is blaming.
Yes, 100% agree.
I love how Homer in the, just is writing down the things not to say just so he can't say it. And just like, he's like, I need to know how just to be a jerk in this, like, and not getting the point of, you know, letting go.
Right.
Forgiveness. But no, he just wants to keep dragging it on. I think it's fun.
I also like them being like, hey, shaming is blaming. He's like, yes, I know. I agree with you.
This is a fun little scene.
Yeah. A lot of fun little scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so with another angry spin of the globe, which I thought was a nice like little touch, because he did it before, Homer leaves angry. Back at home, Marge is upset by the way Homer treated his father. Homer feels that he's savvy, this savvy to be exact, which is far too savvy to ever be scammed. Bart pleads with his father that anybody can be susceptible to a scam, even him. Bart paid for bullies for wedgie insurance, which only resulted in a deductible, another wedgie, and his rates went up. But Homer's ahead of the game, never getting insurance. Lisa then tells her own tale of falling victim to some flim-flammery.
I got an email saying I qualified for the Saxophone Junior Olympics. But when I clicked the link, they hacked my phone and stole my Audible listener credits.
You clicked the link? That's so... Who clicks the link?
Even children are being scammed. Well, maybe there's a few more bad apples than I thought. But I still have to believe the barrel is mostly good.
Oh, Marge, how I envy your sweet innocence. The world is a blender full of sharks set on extra teeth. So you gotta be like me. Always on guard so you're never a sucker.
Delivery for Homer Simpson.
Why'd you buy all these knives?
They're not knives. They're the future of cutlery. Put them in the garage with the others.
Others?
Oh! CutLife is a famous multi-level marketing company. Dad, you fell for a pyramid scheme.
So many scams going on.
I know. I really like Marge's like progressive loss of faith in humanity.
Yeah,
it's very well done.
They're going with that angle for her.
And Lisa's specific scam about the saxophone Olympics and then losing her Audible credits.
Are you on Audible?
I've been on Audible. Yeah.
Yeah, I still have it. I mean, I guess it's kind of worth it. But essentially you're just paying like $16 for an audiobook a month. Isn't that how much it is?
I think so. I have a hard time with audiobooks. I'm not opposed to them theoretically, but in my head, like I'm either reading or listening to a podcast and it seems like I'm doing the same thing. And I have a hard time focusing on a book.
An audiobook. Yeah. I think people will say like, oh, audiobook is cheating because you're not reading, you're just listening. I actually find it's more difficult to listen to an audiobook than to actually read a book. Because if your mind veers off for like a second, like, oh crap, then you have to like rewind and figure out where you veered off. Whereas exactly. Like with a book, it's a lot easier just like reading, like, oh, mind wandered, I'll just go back one sentence.
Right. And it's hard too because you know you have the device that's playing the book has a million other things for you to look at on your phone. So it's hard to like set it down.
Yeah.
And you're gonna do that, you might as well just pick up a book.
Exactly. Yeah. But I like them both. So there we go.
Yeah, I've got no problem with them. Well, I do, but I don't find like some people are like, oh my God, it's awful. Like you mentioned, oh, it's cheating to read a book or to listen to a book. I think it's fine. Get the content.
I think for like the audiobooks, like if it's like a celebrity's memoir and they're reading or celebrities, I listen to that through audiobook because then it is like almost just like a podcast.
Right. It's an elevated performance.
Yeah.
I agree. So speaking of all those scams, are there any other scams that like you occur or that you experience on a regular basis that annoy you?
Oh, I keep getting the random, these new ones, the text ones where it is like, click the link, like, but I'm not doing that homework because it'll be like, oh, T-Mobile have an outage.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Here, we're going to send you $100 if you click this link.
I'm like, yeah, AT&T does that too. Like I get like probably four of them a day, or scammers do that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, thanks for paying your bill. Here's a little something extra.
I'm like, that's not how money people work.
Right. Phone companies are only there to gouge your money.
Yeah. No one's going to be there like, I think we're going to give them money.
Yeah. Also, you know, I sometimes will get the voicemails of like, you know, your social security number has been canceled.
Oh, yep.
I mean, it's just weird.
Guys, this your social security number cannot be canceled. That's not a thing.
Right. And it's not like, don't follow scams.
It's that's funny because, you know, even at the top of this episode, literally scam likely. And those ones also piss me off too.
Yeah.
But I never answer it. I never listen to the voicemails. I just always delete them.
Yeah, no. I've recently gotten somehow like the telephone, your telephone neighbor type thing where like,
oh yeah,
19 other people will also get texted about stuff. And like, it's all like people with similar numbers to yours, like one number off. And so they literally like, I was at work and they texted me 14 times in a matter of 3 minutes. And then other people in that group started to call my number for some reason and tell me that to stop calling them or stop texting them and then calling me a sexual predator.
What?
And I don't know. My phone was not even near me because I was busy at work. And then I just like I had all these messages of just gibberish. And then this woman who was very scared and angry at me because she thought that I was the one who was contacting her. This is very weird.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, maybe your number just shows up that could be it. Maybe your number also shows up on people's phones.
I think it does because I saw a number of numbers as well.
And then they'll click on that to respond to you because they've been scammed. Yeah. Let's just go back to the days of no cell phones or anything, right?
I'm okay with that.
I'll send you a letter via mail.
Yeah, I'll scam you in 3 to 6 weeks. So back to the show. The Simpsons look on at the garage full of boxes, boxes of cut life knives. Homer defends himself, saying that it's not a scheme, and they didn't even want him to join. But luckily, at the last minute, a spot opened up for him. Bart asks how many knives that Homer sold, but Homer explains that he doesn't sell the knives. He engages opportunity handlers to distributize them for him, the expendibution manager. Lisa covers her head in shame. Homer goes on to explain that it's all part of Charles E. Cutlife's three-dimensional triangle system. We then see a diagram showing Homer at the top with Kirk and good old Gil heading up the next two of the tier. And then there's a guy at the bottom left corner who I don't exactly know who that is.
Isn't that Charles E. Cutlife?
It could be, yeah. It's just weird that he's so far down below on the...
Yeah, I guess he should be the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like the pyramid scheme has been parodied in like almost everything ever.
Yes, I think so.
Hasn't The Simpsons done this before already?
Yeah, I think there have been a few different scam, multi-level marketing tropes.
So Cutlife is based off of Cutco, right?
Exactly.
Do you have any Cutco knives?
I'm fairly certain that my parents did.
Yeah, I did too. I think those were the knives I was donated when I first moved out. I was like, here's some knives. I'm like, Cutco.
Yeah, I feel like my dad may have been very susceptible to schemes, and he definitely fell in love with like anything that was like as seen on TV, and he gave Ron Popeil a hefty chunk of money. But I feel like he'd also buy like he would assume that like door-to-door salesmen were good grifters, and so he'd like give them money because he wanted to like help them with their grift. So I don't know if he's falling for it or so much as supporting it.
More like he's like, I think I'm on the ins on this. I know what's going on.
Yeah, that's probably the case. It's like he thought he was like pulling one over on them.
If your dad was still alive today, how many MyPillows would he have?
Oh, my God. I don't want to think about that.
And he keeps buying them.
Yeah. This one will save the day.
So Lisa then shows her dad the tablet, which displays an Oogle business news report saying that Cutlife CEO arrested for obvious scam. Bart wonders why his own father can't get arrested in a suit, which, spoilers, we'll see Homer in a suit later on this episode. Oh. I'm assuming that Lyne's going to make a callback and Homer will be arrested wearing a suit.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, so Marge tells Homer, plain and simple, that he got scammed, embarrassed. He got scammed. So embarrassed, Homer makes a pile of knives and Bart pours gasoline on them and he lights the match. And as he's about to, light the giant boxes of knives on fire, Marge just jumps in and gets it, stops him from doing that right before the fire is lit.
Knives on Fire is another deep sounding, not actual.
It's like album, a 2003 emo album.
Yeah, exactly.
Knives on Fire. Also, that those knives just burn up. I'm going to assume the handles are, the Cutco ones that I had were plastic. So,
yeah.
So it's going to just be a pile of plastic infused sharp object metal. It'd be kind of artful, I think.
It would be. It would probably look good. It'd probably smell horrible.
Oh, horrible. Unless they're all wooden handles, then it's just going to be a pile of metal.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And then that would smell good. Because wood burning is nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
So in the living room, Homer sits in his recliner, throwing knives into the ceiling. I just like the board, the look of that.
Yeah, also, if you're a man and you have burning wood, go see a doctor.
That's right. Or if it lasts more than 4 hours.
Yes.
Marge convinces Homer to apologize to his father. He thinks about all the horrible things he said and gets up to make things right. As he does, all those knives that were in the ceiling then fall to the ground right exactly where he was sitting. The family then goes to the retirement castle to smooth things out with good old Abe.
All that time I was yelling at you, it turns out I'm a sucker too. Will you forgive me, Dad?
Of course, son. Hopefully we've all come out of this a little more savvy. Hello? Yes, this is the grandparent of a boy or girl. Sure, put him or her on the phone. No! Lisa's in jail!
Grandpa, they're trying to trick you again.
It's the same swindler. He must have gotten greedy for more.
I've got an idea. Grandpa, you gotta keep talking so that guy stays on the phone.
Keep talking? I've been preparing for this moment my entire life.
Sir, look. If you don't put up that bail money, your granddaughter will be spending the night in the cooler.
In my day, we didn't have fancy coolers, so everyone took turns blowing on the meat to keep it fresh. Unless you hired a Dutch family to blow on your food for you. Breezies is what you call them.
I like how the they kind of make it a superhero epic moment for a when Lisa's like, you need to talk, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like when like an Avenger will tell Bruce Banner, like, you need to be mad now, you know. It's like, I'll be the Hulk now, you know, that kind of thing. And everyone loves a good Abe rambling thing, so I thought his end too of it was good.
Yeah, and I like the breezies. It's very funny.
That was at the beginning too, when like Lisa's just prominently on the screen when he picks up the phone. It's like, Lisa's in jail. It's like right in front of him.
Yeah. So back at the Simpsons household, Abe has passed out reading the latest issue of Frumpy Beat magazine, which aside from being way out, features articles about a bunch of old actors, including the Uncle Charlie from My Three Son, the Andy Griffith, the woman who played Aunt Bee in Andy Griffith's show, who is greasy, freaky, and insane, and Rita Shaw's Groove Foundation undergarments. And I was looking at these and I thought about, you know, freeze framing the screen and zooming in and like getting all the references, but they're all very old actors. And most of the references are from the 60s at the latest, mostly from the 40s and 50s. And, you know, I think that on this show, Craig and I, we make a lot of references to old TV that a lot of our listeners probably don't know what that is. And so the writers of this episode have gone to the trouble of making an episode that is, or references that are too old for us. So good on them.
Are you sure the writers just didn't go to Al Jean and Matt Selman, like, give me a, or go to like Matt Groening, like, hey,
what you watching?
Yeah, what you watching?
Maybe, yeah. I just figured if you want to pause it, there's a lot of character actors from the olden times. It was a very, there's a lot of dedication to that visual gag. So
good job for probably, yeah, it was, you know, probably was just like an intern or assistant just doing research for days.
Yeah. Well, Nick Fahan threw sandwiches at him, telling him it's wrong.
He's like, someday, I'll be a Simpsons writer, or I'll give up and just do a podcast about fast food. Anyways, Grandpa Doze is off there, and Bart and Lisa use their laptop to listen to audio from this podcast, or maybe actually the call between Abe and the scammers.
Sir, if you could just give us your bank information.
It was quite the scandal when a breezy married a smusher. Those were the fellas you hired to flatten your sandwiches by sitting on them. And the whole town came out to throw tar.
Wow, that's some quality prattle.
Okay, I've run all 3 hours of the call through open source audio software, and the unique pattern of church bells and roller coaster screams pins the location to... Ladies and gentlemen, the address of the scammer.
Whoa, we could get the money back. It's not about the money. I want to show that bad guy the face of the old man whose love and decency he exploited.
Oh, honey, you have a beautiful heart. But make no mistake, it is about the money.
I gotta say, I like that Lisa figuring out where the building was isn't that unreasonable. Like, it's not like Wayne's World where they have to triangulate the points of... Like, it's kind of plausible.
I didn't know what her her plan was, like, to record the audio. Like, okay, what's she gonna do? Like,
right.
Is she gonna take this to the police and they're gonna figure it out? Or... But the fact that she has to figure... I didn't know what that... Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but just listening to, like, church bells and birds, like, oh, that's just kind of over there.
Yeah, there's so many shows that have done that as well.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's literally an episode of... I forgot what it was, but it was literally the same thing where the... Like, wait, I think it was, like, a monk episode, actually. Like, it was... He was, like, listening to a call and then heard, like... a church bell or some shit like that. And it's like, that bell only rings at 11:38 because of something.
Right.
That means the killer is there. And it was Rita Shaw, who is the murderer.
With her crazy underpants.
Yeah.
So Homer then once again imagines Santa's little helper as the luxurious Afghan hound. And as he combs it, we head into our final act. The Simpsons, with Grandpa in tow, take exit 18 off the highway to Business Loop C. At 13 Business Loop C building, the story, they stare at an unassuming building. Homer vows that his children will learn an all-too-important lesson. Sometimes, the sheep get their wool back. Bart points out, though, that that's not actually the case, because the sheep don't actually get their wool back. They just grow more wool, because that's what sheep do. Homer then accuses his son of being a shepherd, and then heads back to get his eventual money.
I thought that was a fun little exchange with Homer.
What are you, a shepherd?
Like, it's like it's the, just the Dan delivery of an angry like insult comeback that's not clever at all,
right?
It's just, what are you, Shepard? I thought it was great. So before they can confront the friends who grifted them, Homer and Abe see a security guard, and Homer has a plan because his friends can get him in. So he opens his jacket and reveals all those cut life knives strapped to his chest, like it's like you strap dynamite to threaten to blow up people. Rather than threatening, though, that violence that we think is going to happen, Homer's showing off how the finest Idaho steel can cut a tomato there. And those knives look pretty good because that tomato slice looks pretty thin.
Yeah, it's like transparent. You can see right through it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I might get some of those cut life knives.
It'd be good.
Because I'm impressed, and so is that security guard there. So he offers to buy the whole set, but Homer explains that he wouldn't be buying them. And not even selling them, because selling other people on selling the knives. Because those knives, you know, are selling them themselves. I'm excited by that new opportunity. The security guard goes to call his pregnant wife home to inform her of his new career. I think that was a good, like, a nice little...
it's a good touch.
Just a good touch, yeah.
Yeah, like, he could have just ran off to call his wife.
Yeah, but it's like, my pregnant wife. New career. That was good.
Yeah, I like that. So this leads to their pathway for revenge wide open. Marge is ready to burst through the door to find the bad guy and get Grandpa some justice. But when she opens the door, she finds just a bleak call room full of workers at desks in cubicles.
Which one's the scammer?
They're all the scammer.
The IRS tax police are on their way to your home, but we'll accept immediate payment in Fortnite V-Bucks.
Oh, your Airbnb is all ready to go there. I'm fluffing the towels right now. Fluff, fluff.
There's so many of them.
You are all in an unethical industry, and we have called the authorities.
Oh, man. Another boiler room of phone hucksters. All right, scam bags. You know the drill. You don't gotta go home, but you can't grift here.
Aren't you going to arrest them?
Marge, you shut down one of these, five more pop up in its place.
Phone fraud and Halloween costumes for pets are America's only growth industries.
So they're just employees doing this for a paycheck?
I wish we got paid in money. All we get is minimum wage and gift cards.
It's so bleak. In a good way. I mean, like, it's just, I don't know. So I liked also the array of the callers, you know, the IRS police and all that, because those are the ones that you get.
Yeah, those are the ones to really get people, because they hear the term IRS or police. They're right. Like, oh, this must be real.
Two scams that I used to work at a hotel, and there are two scams that were specific to the hotel. They would call and ask for the restaurant manager and say that the POS system was down and that they would send a replacement, and then send one single roll of receipt paper tape with a $400 bill attached to it. That one I saw people fall to a couple times. And another one is they'd call the hotel and tell the employees that they want a free Mexico trip to that hotel. And one time my boss at the time answered it, and he held him on the phone for 20 minutes while they described this wonderful all-inclusive vacation that was clearly a scam. So it's in every industry. It's really bad.
Yeah, I remember the receipt tape. It would be when I worked at the pizza place.
Oh, yeah, you got it too.
You would get the calls and it'd be like, let me speak to the manager. Yeah, we are the ones who supply your receipt tape. We're just going to send you a replacement here. I just want to confirm everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it was always like, no. You just have to like, no, this isn't how it works. Bye.
Yeah.
Ugh, those were annoying days.
Me too. I hated that. So as the callers sadly leave their desks and drop off their headsets, Homer and Abe ask if any of them have their money. They all say no. And one who sounds awfully familiar to Bart and kind of looks like Dan Kessel and Heather. Grandpa looks around and asks, is this what we wanted to happen?
So Lisa nervously tries to justify their actions, and they can't find the words. And she looks to her mother, who can always see the good in everything.
Well, on the bright side, if you look at it a certain way, there is no bright side. The whole world is one big criminal organization. From hedge funds to payday loans to the NCAA. It's not just a few bad apples. It's the whole orchard that's rotten.
Oh, gift cards.
Justice wasn't served. but dinner is.
I loved Marge's little speech there.
Yeah, it she's lost faith in society.
This episode is bleak because she broke.
Exactly. Like, she had so much hope, and then she had a little less hope, and now it's gone.
If she was Bruce Wayne, she would have killed right there.
That's right.
Because that's how you break the bat, is he has to kill.
Mm-hmm. And if you're Michael Douglas, she would be falling down and then get cancer from cunnilingus or something.
All right.
So the family then head to Zerz, America's all appetizer restaurant, which I'm here for.
Wait a minute, didn't we come up with that?
I think we did, yeah.
Like an all appetizer restaurant? Yeah, that's all I want.
Me too. So after eating $500 worth of sides, such as revenge sliders dipped in paycheck sauce, payback sauce, rather. I don't know what paycheck sauce is.
That does sound good.
Homer notices that Marge isn't even sweating from overeating. So as he dabs his forehead with a slice of pizza, he listens as Marge tells him that those gift cards were obtained by scamming innocent people. Marge said it herself. Everyone in the world is ripping it off everyone else. So why shouldn't they wet their beaks?
And then Homer suggests that Marge try the fried beaks. And the rest of the family encourages to dip the beaks. You know, even Lisa Simpson. So is she eating the fried beaks?
Seems like she is.
So Marge then, after some hesitation, does gorge on those little fried birds' mouths, and along with every other appetizer on the table. And then just then, the server transforms into the mischievous Norse god himself, Loki, played by Tom Ooh. Hiddleston, right?
Of course, why wouldn't it be?
With that deep-fried morsel, my victory is complete.
We're all seeing the freak in the sandals, right?
Yes, but this can't be real. We probably just ate too many wasabi mac and cheese balls.
Silence, you mewling wretches. For I am Loki, god of mischief. But I am known by many names and take many forms.
You know what's really funny?
Hmm.
Is Alan Cumming doing Loki? It's almost like he almost is doing an imitation of Tom Hiddleston's Loki voice.
Interesting. I didn't put that together, but that is Alan Cumming, and he's playing the non-Marvel Loki, and he does have experience with the role because he did play Loki in the 2005 film starring Jamie Kennedy and Traylor Howard, Son of the Mask, which was a less successful follow-up to the 1994 Jim Carrey hit, The Mask.
And he is in the Marvel Universe because he was Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And the James Bond verse.
Oh, yeah.
And probably everything else.
Yeah. He's a very busy guy.
What do you call Alan Cumming when he's leaving the room?
Alan going. It's a you very tell that, sweet joke.
Yeah, you could tell that joke to your grandma, guys.
Because grandma knows who Alan Cumming is.
Grandma would be like, Alan Cumming? Well, yes, how had your father?
Now go say hi to your grandpa, Alan.
Alan?
Alan.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's coming.
So Loki goes on to say he takes on many forms, such as Anunnaki, which is a African spider god, Sun Wukong from the Journey to the West, Jeebus Christ, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, Jesus Christ's Ruth Steakhouse.
Yeah, Jesus Yes, we turn the water into wine, and then hot cross or steaks on a cross. I don't know. And then there's an Aztec coyote god,
Wayway Coyote, I think is how you would say that. Yeah,
a pyramid with one eyed bow tie and a top hat. I'm not sure. It's called Bill Cipher. Steve, I don't understand that.
Yeah, so that was featured in the second season of the Disney show Gravity Falls, which I don't remember because I only watched the first season, but I'm currently watching through it, so I'll probably get there pretty soon. But it's voiced by, it tells him to buy cryptocurrency, which is a scam in its own right. And it's voiced by the creator and star of Gravity Falls, Alex Hirsch, who's also a very big Simpsons fan. The first guest on the Everything's Coming Up Springfield podcast.
And didn't we talk about him? Oh, yeah, no. This is an episode. Yeah.
No, but we did. I think we feel like we mentioned Gravity Falls last week, maybe.
I think we did. It was like a week ago. How can we? Anyway, so Loki goes on to tell his widespread tale of evil.
And my handiwork of deception is woven into the fabric of the universe, from the Ticketmaster convenience fee to the NCAA.
Oh, Lord of Appetizers, I kneel before you. Who shall I smother with ranch in your name?
Well, Loki, you've already taken an old man's life savings. What more do you want?
I have come here to... Zaz, to take my prize, an honest woman's belief in the good of mankind. And now, as the old laws demand, I must bestow upon the vanquished a kiss. Ha ha! There are no old laws. God of mischief does it again. Now, off to add more blackout dates to Disneyland annual passes.
Suckers. And that was actually Mickey Mouse. You recorded that for
a special cameo.
A lot of going on in that clip there, Stephen.
Yes, I liked all of his references. You know, they brought back the another Chekhov's phaser with the NCAA that Marge mentioned.
And all the scams that things.
And Loki's a creep. He kissed Marge under false pretenses. That's gross.
Also, when he's on the table, I'm assuming he might be wearing underwear, but if he's not, he's just like exposing his nether regions in front of the kids.
Yeah, this 8 and 10-year-old would love to see my penis. My weird magical penis.
Can we isolate Steve saying weird magical penis?
Weird magical penis.
This kind of reminds me of the insanity Pepper Homer eats, and you know, goes on a kind of quest. It's kind of the same thing because you know they overate, and you know it's that food coma time where
right,
or maybe hallucination from eating too much.
Yeah, I think that the having Bart burp just he's like, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" It's a really nice touch.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. So after the family comments how weird that experience was, Homer wonders if they should get the rest of the food to go. Later, as they stop for gas, Marge witnesses a woman asking Super Nintendo Chalmers for some money as she ran out of gas and left her wallet at home. The woman promises to send the money back, but Gary Chalmers feels that it's an obvious scam and directs the woman to find another sucker.
I think she's being sincere.
Yeah.
She looks it. But Marge thinks to herself, is this the world she lives in? One where nobody trusts anybody. No, not Marge. She hands that woman the $20 and writes her address down and tells that woman that she trusts her and then she'll mail the money back. And then, you know, she kind of agrees. She smiles and, you know, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So we cut back to a week later where Marge is checking the mail. And then, you know, there's a bunch of bills for like extended warranties, past due bills, reverse mortgage offers, all these Cutco past due things. Marge then finds an envelope addressed to her. She opens it and in a red note says, "Thank you for your trust." And then there's $20 bill in there.
Nice.
Marge knew it. And then she's screams out, "In your face, God of scams." And that's the episode. You know, it's her faith in humanity is restored. But then we go outside of the house there. And Abe, for some reason, puts a red ink pen in his pocket. Just like the red on the note.
Weird.
Yeah. And then he says he may be out of 20 bucks, but the Simpsons have something to believe in. And he says, "Suckers."
He was behind it all along.
But that makes me sad because then I was kind of hoping that like she did.
Right. It's a very bittersweet thing because on one hand, Marge's faith in humanity is restored, but also it's under false pretenses.
Yeah.
So the world is awful.
You know what's weird too about that scene with Abe? Like, why is he doing the pen thing? Because he had to mail that out.
Oh, a week ago. Yeah. That's...
And if you look at the envelope, it has like the official mail stamp over the stamp. So it's already been processed. So it's not like he just
dropped it off
into the mailbox. Yeah.
That's a very good point that I had not thought about until just this moment.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah, because does he like show up every day, like between 10 and 2 while the mail person comes? And
maybe that's his nervous tick, right?
Yeah.
Where he clicks a pen, which comes back to the guest star in this episode, Alan Cumming, who is in GoldenEye, where his nervous tick was clicking a pen.
Oh, wow. You just triggered it out and put so many layers on this that we're definitely there.
All right. Well, that's the show, Steve.
Yep. The credits roll in. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's a white font. So as we head to break, let's listen to the post-credits scene of Mo working hard at the call center. We'll be right back.
Your social security number has been compromised. Please give us your social security number so we can keep it safe. I met my billionaire boyfriend on Billionaire Match. Match with billions of billionaires for only $4.95 a month. If you or your family have used toilet paper in the last year, you can join us in a class action lawsuit. We have found nude photos of you. If you want these removed and or touched up,
Please press 1 now. This is Jerry down at whatever bank you use. We lost your PIN number. Can you send it to us?
All right, we're back, Steve and listener. Let's do our usual wrap-up of the old Simpsons-Rooney show. We'll do our usual favorite gags of what we want merchandise from this episode. You know, shirt, tattoo, what have you. Maybe we'll talk about our favorite jokes or scenes. Maybe give an MVJ, and then we'll find out what we're watching next week. How about that?
Sounds great.
All right, Steve, let's talk about branding.
All righty.
What do you want branded on a shirt, tattoo, or maybe something else? I don't know. What do you got for me?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to think outside the box here. I've got a couple of things. Maybe we have Salvador Deli's, a t-shirt for that with the melting clock. Maybe we have some knives from Cut Life, just some actual knives. But I think what I want to go for is a patch or a badge that features the Meat Shapers Local Union 164.
Call back to the opening of the episode where Grandpa used to work.
Exactly. I think it'd be a little fun.
Yeah. I thought maybe Grandpa's phone. I said that I want that to be an actual product. Maybe that.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Be fun. But I think what I would like is it's another concept. I don't know. Someone could do it. I mean, I could do it, but I'm not going to waste my time to do it. It's I want an actual menu from the restaurant of Zer's.
Ooh.
So I can just like look at it. Like I want it to be like the size of a Cheesecake Factory menu, but all appetizers. So
it's like a novel of sides.
And I can just look at it all the time and be like, oh, I want that to eat. And then find, you know, a restaurant that actually makes it.
That's right.
Like I also imagine like Zer's like having all over the globe of appetizers, right?
Right. Yeah. Maybe a little dim sum, some antipasto.
Right. Like, I would love to have a pot sticker with some antipasta.
That sounds delightful.
And I'm pro pasta. yeah, like chicken wings.
You know they would have like a Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onion. Chicken wings with poutine, right?
Ooh, you had me at poutine.
Yeah. And chicken egg wings. Rolls and pot stickers and pierogies and...
So basically, it's an elevated Jack-in-the-Box menu without the burger part.
And honestly, that's the best part of Jack-in-the-Box menu, guys. It's the sides.
Yeah.
Those egg rolls are probably the best thing they have on their menu.
Which is both an insult and a compliment to them, because those egg rolls are good.
They're damn good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're better than like your grocery store deli egg roll.
That's true.
They're better than like a Panda Express. I don't, their sides aren't good at Panda Express. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just talk about Panda Express. I mean, this is not the best, you know?
No, I haven't been to Panda Express in many a day because not for me.
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about pandas.
All right.
We'll talk about Simpsons. So, yeah, I want my menu. You want your local sausage guys.
Exactly.
Your local meatballs. All right. What jokes, scenes did you stand out here for you?
So, of course, you know, Abe is great in this episode. Allowing him to do all of his old timey type stuff is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed, you know, his use of the words like flimflammery or idiot, and him talking about the breezies is probably my favorite joke of the episode. But in the therapy session, I really like Mr. Burns talking about the power company and how he is a power company. And Mo and Melissa Joan Hart. And at the end, the post-credits scene that we just heard, I really like Mo's variety of different scams. He's kind of going through the gamut. So yeah, those are some of my favorites. I think that, you know, Homer is also very funny. I liked his turn. I think that there aren't like one or two like great jokes, but I think there's a lot of small, really good jokes and really good turns of phrase in this episode.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. The like if you're thinking like one-liners, like Mr. Burns maybe about like they found the shut off the power and I am the power.
Right.
That like little ditty there. You know, even like, yeah, like Lisa saying like she lost her audible. That was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's like more like the performances of the character. And like, I'll just get into it. I think the character direction in this episode was really well written because kind of almost everybody has a story that they're, you know, or a predicament that they're going through. And it's really played out really well. I mean, Marge hoping that humanity is restored. Homer, all he cares about is the money. Even Lisa has... helps. And I think it's one of those. Hey, was Maggie in this episode? I don't think she was.
She appeared in it, but definitely didn't like have any moments.
I swear her con. Oh yeah, that's right. She appeared in it. I enjoyed just the kind of had that layered, it has that layered storytelling as well, that, and it seems very thought out, like this episode.
Yeah, it's a very thoughtful episode.
And you know, you think about just in general, like what is, like insurance, like they say, you know, by law you have to have insurance for certain things. It's like, but isn't that in itself a scam? You know, and just like thinking about everything is just like, it's never going to change. And that's the message we're getting from this episode.
Yeah, it's interesting how, there's scams left and right. And I do think that it is a very complex episode in a way.
I enjoy it. Yeah. And I think for like MVJ or whatever, I think maybe not for jokes, but just like I liked Abe and Marge in this episode. It really gave their characters some heart. And you know, I've always kind of, you know, a lot of people always complain about the newer Simpsons era doesn't have like heart.
Yeah,
and this definitely brought that in. And I think that's a good thing with the writer, because it's not because you know, he's just a production guy, for his name, or
Nick Dahan,
getting that kind of like fresh blood and like telling the story. And I thought it was really good. So there's, yeah, the heart, that's what I was saying.
Mm-hmm. And so if you had to give this a ranking or a score.
Well, we do learn that Abe Simpson's social security number is 327-003658. So out of, 327-003658, I'll give this episode a 268-221843.
Alrighty, that's a great score. I couldn't agree or disagree more. I really enjoyed the direction of this episode, because I feel like a lot of criticism of newer episodes, like you mentioned, is that they lack heart and they go for easy wins or big sensational things like guest stars galore, or the Simpsons are going to go somewhere, or something big is going to happen. And in this episode, that didn't happen. It was kind of a smaller episode, and I kind of appreciated that. And like last week, we had, you know, this insular world of the musical, and here we have the scam, but where this, we're just following the Simpsons as they try and solve a problem together as a family. And you know, it's a very, you know, quick, direct A plot with not really a B plot, but there are so many stories happening in that. And you're right that a lot of thought went into this. You know, it would be easy enough to just have Abe be upset that he was scammed and feel bad and feel like a sad old man. And then Homer at first supportive, but then wanting to get the money back. And that could have been the whole thing. But the element of Marge adds such a deeper level of emotional interest to the story that I think it really like elevates the story to the next level. And, you know, and Bart and Lisa also had plenty to do. It's hard to pick out an MVJ or your favorite, because everybody just did so much and it was so well thought out. And I just thought that from Mac, the bartender, to the end with Ellen coming, which kind of seems out of nowhere. I thought that this episode had a lot going on and it all kind of flowed very well. Since, you know, we're currently now watching the newest episodes, I found myself coming home from work on Sunday nights and waiting for midnight just so I can watch the episode before I start working on notes, just because I'm excited to watch it as a fan, which is something I haven't felt in a little while. And so that's really cool. And so, you know, his paycheck was in the beginning was $50. And I'm going to take out a little for myself and give this, a solid 46 out of $50.
Yeah. Great score.
Yeah.
That score makes sense more than mine.
A little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is an episode definitely recommend to old Simpsons fans. It's, there's no fat is what, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They've trimmed the fat. You know, there was no couch gags in the beginning, so they could get all the story beats for all the characters to really shine. So
yeah, I genuinely feel like aside from modern day references, if you drop this into a season like 4 or 5, it would probably fit right in.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, what were some of the modern day references? I mean, like the low-key stuff with the Gravity Falls thing, or?
Yeah, and just, you know, the tablet and just, you know, just general stuff that wouldn't have been around in the 90s. But, you know, if this had been written in 1994, I think it would have fit in with any other episode of the time.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, the scamming has, you know, been a thing forever. So even the telephone scam was definitely a thing. All right. Well, you know what's not a scam, Steve?
What's that, Craig?
This podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, it's a lot of things, and it's a lot of things. Yeah, but
we don't make money off it, so.
Right. If somebody's getting scammed,
it's us.
Not a, it's us, because, you know, maybe we're being scammed out of money by the wonderful people.
Using all this electricity on the microphone stuff.
Yeah, it's all Big Blue.
That's the name?
Yeah, Blue brand mics.
Yeah.
It's all a scam.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is also, I don't think it's a scam that there'll be a new episode of The Simpsons this coming Sunday.
Nope. And it's a very special episode. It's the third season, third episode of the 33rd season. And it is the Treehouse of Horror.
Oh, boy. Treehouse of Horror 32.
Woo.
What are we going to do next year? Do we have to start the 32 days of Halloween and watch the first Treehouse on September 30th?
I think double up?
Well, I guess we're going to just single up on this episode.
Yeah, I think so. But we are going to be busy because as it was revealed at Comic-Con 2021, this Treehouse of Horror will have 5 segments instead of their usual 3. Interesting, including a parody of the film Parasite.
So I guess maybe like 2 will probably, I bet 2 will be right amount of the same amount of length as usual ones, and maybe 3 of them will be like very short.
Yeah, I would say that's probably going to be the case.
That might be better. I mean, because sometimes those jokes for when they're parodying for the Halloween stuff, you could do it in you know, a sentence and just kind of
right.
get it out there.
Yeah.
And not try to build on it.
So some of the, you're right, because some of them you're like, okay, I get where you're going with this. And then it goes on for another 4 minutes. So we have Bong Joon-ho's This Side of Parasite. We have something called Bambi. We have one called Nightmare on Elm Tree.
In the Treehouse.
I think so. Poetic Interlude. Maybe you'll get another Raven, Craig.
We can only be so lucky.
And then you get The Ringer, which I guess is about a phone or something.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun watching. We all love Treehouse of Horror.
Oh, yeah.
So I bet after that, though, I'm guessing we might have to be going back to the wheel after next week. Because if they're dropping Treehouse now.
We shall see.
Oh, you better go to the wheel repair store and make sure it's get it tuned up on that, you know?
Yeah, I'll make sure everything's in order.
Thank you.
I'll get a new catalytic converter for it.
Oh, geez. Don't hurt your back doing that.
I'll try not to. Change the oil. Place the wiper fluid.
Thanks. All right. Well, hey, you can contact us on social media. Tell us what you thought about this week's episode or, I don't know, what scams you like to be a part of. You can do that by going to social media. Hopefully it's not blacked out or down. But
speaking of scams.
Yeah. Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at 138Simpsons.
And you can email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And then you can go to your favorite podcasting app and leave us 5 stars or the equivalent. But you don't need to write a real review. All you need is to send us your social security number.
All right. For this week, I've been an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep sending us your social security checks.
And invest in crypto.